in on the drive. Today's pop quiz was Home Alone. It debuted in theaters today back in 1990. Home Alone, a classic movie. One of my favorite holiday movies. I'm a big Christmas Story and Home Alone fan.
Christmas Story is an awful movie. I'll see myself out.
What's your favorite Christmas movie then, Spec?
Die Hard.
Which is not a Christmas movie.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa's good.
I like Bad Santa. It's funny.
I think Elf's good.
You know what?
Christmas Vacation to me is my favorite.
You know, one of the biggest surprises of my life is that Bad Santa 2 was actually good.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't think there was any chance that I was going to enjoy Bad Santa 2. I left that thinking, you know what? This wasn't that bad. I actually had a good time watching this movie.
I was very surprised
that Bad Santa 2 was any good. Spectre doesn't like anything, so you
Christmas
can't even...
Christmas Story doesn't need to be played for 24 hours straight on TBS. I'm sorry. It's not that good a movie to be worthy of 24 straight hours.
It's a great holiday tradition in my family. I always stay the night over my parents' house on Christmas Eve. My mom cooks. In between cooking, we play games of Jenga. I've never beat my mom in Jenga. I don't know how she wins every time. I swear that she cheats. And we watch Christmas Story every year. I'm happy that they do it that way. It's become a tradition in our home.
Enough. It's enough already.
You're going to shoot your eye out, kid.
I don't need the leg lamp. I don't need the Red Ryder BB gun. I don't need that kid getting stuck to the pole by licking the frost.
That's funny, man.
Enough.
Ralphie in his little snowsuit. You don't like that?
No.
Okay.
Someone on the text line is saying, how is Die Hard not a Christmas movie? It is just a movie that takes place at Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
It's actually a very good question. Is Lethal Weapon a Christmas movie then?
No, because it doesn't center around Christmas.
Hmm. Yeah, I just don't think Die Hard is just a movie that takes place at Christmas, where like Jingle All the Way is a Christmas movie. He's
Terrible
trying to buy
movie.
A toy for a kid.
Santa Claus is a good movie.
I don't like Santa Claus, but I'm not. Yeah. It doesn't really do much for me. I think that this game kind of highlights maybe the quarterback's strengths and weaknesses in the NFL and how it pertains to the Chiefs. If you think about the AFC, let's go through the AFC list, and I want you, Brad, to write down how many of these teams know they have their quarterback for the future.
Okay.
Know they have their quarterback for the future. Not think, not okay. Perhaps. I mean, know they have their quarterback.
Okay.
The New England Patriots.
Quarterback of the future?
Quarterback of the future.
Yeah, don't have it.
Miami Dolphins.
No.
Buffalo Bills.
No.
New York Jets.
No.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
Baltimore Ravens.
No.
Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
Houston Texans.
Yes.
Tennessee Titans.
I think they do in Mariota, yes.
Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
Los Angeles Chargers.
No.
Denver Broncos.
No.
Oakland Raiders.
No.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Think of the teams that you said yes to in the AFC.
Texans, Chiefs, Browns.
And Titans.
Yeah.
That's the list. The list of teams. We went through the entire AFC where you can say, I think they know who their quarterback is.
Didn't I say I had the Colts in there too,
And I wouldn't even put the Titans on that list. Yeah. I don't know if the Titans know they have it with Marcus Mariota. We'll see this offseason when it comes to a long-term extension for their quarterback. If that's the list, as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you should feel incredibly well. That's not saying that the Jets don't have their quarterback of the future.
Sure.
Or the Bills don't have their quarterback of the future. Or the Ravens don't with Lamar Jackson. I'm saying right now, if you take a snapshot of the AFC, that is not the case. Think about to 10 years ago. Man, the Colts had their quarterback. The Patriots had their quarterback. The Steelers had their quarterback. The Chargers had their quarterback. And those guys went on to have a dominant decade of football in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
If you're telling me the teams that feel like they got their quarterback are the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, who is likely going to win MVP this year, it's Baker Mayfield, who's had a okay rookie season.
Yeah.
It's the Colts with Andrew Luck, who's been very injury prone the last couple years. It's the Tennessee Titans with Marcus Mariota, to me, is just Dak Prescott, just an average quarterback that you got to surround with a lot of situations. Man, you have such an advantage as we sit right now in the AFC with you and the other teams of knowing who your quarterback is for the future and feeling really confident in who he is.
And that's an interesting way to look at it, too, because I think the second tier of teams there are teams that hope they have their quarterback of the future. Like, for example, the Dolphins don't hope they have their quarterback. They don't know, all right? I think the Jets hope they do. I think the Bills hope they do. Because the Jags have no idea what they're going to do with Blake Bortles.
I think they know enough to know he's not the guy long term.
He's not the guy long term. But, yeah, I mean, I think you've got to On that second tier, though, it's got to be the Bills. It's got to be the Jets. They're going to be in there, too, because I think they have their guy. Now, we haven't seen it. I've seen more of Mayfield to know that I think he's going to be the guy in Cleveland. I think he's going to be there for a while. But you're right. If you look at this, I mean, the two that I believe in the most out of that list of the Texans, the Browns, the Chiefs, Titans, and Colts, I'd probably say the Chiefs and the Texans are the two.
Yeah, and I would say it's not even close, and I would say it's a pretty decently sized gap. Now, yeah. If we do that same exercise in the NFC, I think you notice, I mean, maybe the point of this segment. Let's play the same thing with the Bears, and I bet you write down more teams.
Quarterbacks of the future.
Quarterback of the future. Chicago.
Yes.
Minnesota.
Man. They're going to say yes.
Green Bay.
No.
Detroit.
No.
Saints.
No.
Carolina.
Yes.
Atlanta.
No.
Tampa Bay.
No.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
Seattle.
Yes.
Arizona.
No, not now.
San Francisco.
Yes.
Think of the teams that we said yes for in the NFC and who the quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
You said yes on Mitch Trubisky, who's actually having a really good season.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good.
You said yes on Kirk Cousins, who I think we have a better body of work than we have for somebody like Baker Mayfield and Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins has been a better quarterback than them. You said yes on Cam Newton, who's won an MVP and been to a Super Bowl. You said yes on Russell Wilson, who's been to two Super Bowls and won one before. You said yes on Jimmy Garoppolo, with pre-injury, was one of the five best young quarterbacks in the NFL. The great quarterbacks, or the teams that feel solidified as position, are all in the NFC. That opens it up. If you think about how the AFC has been positioned over the last 15 years, it's been dominated by Tom Brady. It's been dominated by Ben Roethlisberger. It's been dominated by Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is doing nationwide commercials. Tom Brady's going to retire in the next 2 years. Ben Roethlisberger's going to retire in the next year. Who's going to be the one in the AFC to take the torch? If you could start over in the NFL and decide you can start from scratch and pick any player for the next 10 years, you'll probably pick the Chiefs quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you probably pick Patrick Mahomes. You can have Aaron Rodgers. I'll take the 23-year-old quarterback and ensure his health for the next couple of years and think that he's going to be good. That's where we sit right now, that this game shows you that there are some really good quarterbacks. I think Goff could have a really good 10-year run. I think Mahomes can have a really good 10-year run. There's some great young quarterbacks in the NFL. Man, a majority of them are just all on the other side of the bracket, that if we're talking about the road for the Chiefs to have multiple chances to win a Super Bowl, who are you afraid to go through? It used to be you had to go through Brady to go to the Super Bowl. You had to go through Peyton and go to the Super Bowl. You had to go through Ben Roethlisberger. According to your list, you got to go through Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. You got to go through Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. You got to go through Frank Reich and Andrew Luck. It just goes to show you the divide I think we're seeing right now at the quarterback
position. Yeah, and I think if you want to talk about coach and quarterback, I mean, the Chiefs have the best. They have the best in the AFC right now, at least for the foreseeable future. I'm sorry, Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson doesn't scare me a ton. Browns and whoever they get. I don't know, maybe they get McCarthy. I don't know who they get. You know, the Titans and Mike Vrabel, they're starting to get on my radar a little bit, to be honest with you. I mean, Mike Vrabel's showing that he can win some games. I think Mike Vrabel's going to be a really, really good coach. The Colts, and I'm not sold on Frank Wright yet. So you're right. I mean, the balance of quarterbacks has switched over to the NFC. So, I mean, if things continue to go in the direction that they're going right now, everything's going to go through Kansas City on an annual basis if the Chiefs play this thing right.
I want to play this for you guys. This was Marcus Peters earlier in the week talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. You and I both are really looking forward to Marcus Peters' media availability. Here's what he had to say when he addressed the media.
We playing football against the Kansas City Chiefs, and just another football game we got to play against.
When you think back on your 3 years there, what kind of comes to mind? Were they good years, bad years for you?
I had fun. I started off an amazing chance to be able to play football in the NFL. I enjoyed it.
Difficult to kind of keep your emotions in check?
No, I'm really going to be excited to see Emmett Thomas, Al Harris, the rest of the DB group, a few other players like Justin Houston and stuff like that. I hope EB make the trip. But nah, man, it's football, bro.
Do you stay in contact with those guys?
Yeah, I talk to Justin, Ron Parker, and them a lot. You know, they're my dudes, you feel me? They were my brothers when I was there, and then they still going to be my brothers off the field, so it don't matter.
The way it ended there, is that just the NFL being a business?
Let me ask you, how did it end?
Well, they traded you.
Yeah, so I can't do nothing about it. I didn't ask for it, you know? So I appreciate everything that the Kansas City Chiefs did for me and my family for giving me the opportunity to play in this league. Now I'm just loving and enjoying being an L.A. Ram.
Part of this is a little bit frustrating to me, and this is why. I think it seems pretty clear in that interview that somebody important with the Rams talked to Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Sean McVay. I don't know if it was Jared Goff. I don't know if it was the owner. I don't know who it was. But that sounds like a different Marcus Peters to me than most of the time you hear him in his media conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is sitting there frustrated. How could you guys in Kansas City never get him to do that?
Yeah.
Like, how could Alex Smith never sit down with Marcus Peters and have that conversation where he comes out and addresses the media like that? With all the respect that I think we know that Andy Reid has for Marcus Peters, why do we never get that version of Marcus Peters? If you get that version of Marcus Peters a lot more frequently in Kansas City, I think things just end up a lot differently. And I'm not going to say that it doesn't come down to personal responsibility. At some point, you're an adult. You got to go out there and you got to handle yourself accordingly and know how to conduct your business properly. But I'm just sitting there listening to that. Man, it would have been easy for Marcus Peters to come out here and give the Chiefs some bulletin board material and talk big in this kind of week and kind of get things fired up and kind of turn the fire up for a game that doesn't need any extra gasoline poured on it. And this was the exact opposite for Marcus Peters. He sounded like Patrick Mahomes answering questions when it came to the media. I just want to know why that Marcus Peters could never happen in Kansas City.
I don't know. Sometimes the light comes on, right? And sometimes you start to figure it out a little bit.
But we say that, though. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, you were critical of him.
I know.
And how he handled the stuff against the Saints.
He did. It was terrible. Sometimes, and listen, maybe it was a teammate to him. Maybe it was the Rams PR staff. I'm guessing that Peters is probably going to listen to a teammate more than he's going to listen to some staff member saying, hey, don't do that.
But we say that, though. I mean, Eric Berry couldn't get through to Marcus Peters in
okay.
that way.
Well, maybe he decided. I mean, he's year four right now, okay? He's going to want to get paid at some point. All right, he's getting cooked on the field. He was being his typical Marcus Peters self in postgame media sessions where he's dropping about 15 curse words in every session. Do you want to get paid? You better play better and you better act a certain way. You know, so maybe finally Peters is like, hey, okay, you're right. Maybe somebody got through to him. I don't think Marcus Peters is a dumb guy. You know, I think Marcus Peters is a really passionate guy that's a good football player that's having a terrible year. And maybe it finally sunk into Marcus Peters like, man, I'm getting cooked. I'm in year four. I want to get paid. You know, I can't continue. I've got to start somewhere.
But I'm saying is we think all this happened in the last 10 days because just last week he was responding to
maybe,
Sean Payton.
Maybe,
remember, I mean,
you remember
with Sean Payton, he was saying, keep talking that blank, keep talking that blank.
Yeah.
We're going to see y'all ass again, and we're going to have some gumbo afterwards. Just last week he
maybe,
was doing
but,
this. He had some epiphany in the last 7 days,
you
we
can't,
think.
You can't tell me his teammates came to him and said, listen, Marcus, we're worried about your emotions here. We know you get hyped up. We know you get amped up for this game. You're going against your former team that traded you. There's a lot of stuff out there. We need you cool. We need you smart. All right, can you do that for us this week?
I agree with you. I'm simply asking of there were times that the Kansas City Chiefs needed that. I wonder why that never happened.
Well, let me tell you.
Because
let me
you
put
got
it to
leaders.
You, this way.
You had Derek Johnson. You had Tom Bahali. You got Eric Berry. It's not like the Chiefs lacked defensive leadership.
Let me tell
that
you.
That conversation never seemed to break through last year with Marcus Peters, just based on what we just heard.
Let me put it to you this way. So when I first became a step-parent, I went to a mentor of mine, a guy by the name of George Salas, an athletic director at Shawnee Mission North, teacher, mentor of mine. And we went out, we had a beer. And I said, how do you know you get through to a kid? And he goes, you never really do. I said, so what do? He goes, you keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over, and you hope at one point that it just sinks in. Maybe it sunk in with Marcus Peters. Maybe he finally got it. Okay, I'm playing the Chiefs. I'm getting crushed on the things that I'm saying in the media. I'm getting crushed on the field. Maybe it's time to change. I finally got to the point where I got to change. Now, if he's fully going to do this thing, let's see how he handles his emotions against the Chiefs, okay? And then that'll tell us something. If Marcus Peters has a meltdown on a pass interference penalty or in a crucial part of that game, then we know that this was just a show because it was Chiefs week and they were getting ready to play him. But maybe the light came on. I hope it did for him. I've said this for, gosh, how long now about him? I think Peters cost himself money and years in contracts with some of the stuff he does on the field and off of it.
I just find it hard to believe that happened in a week. I'm not saying that the light
doesn't
come
on for
him.
But it's not a hard change.
I'm not saying that the
light. Don't curse. It's really it. Don't curse in an interview. We're not asking you again. We're not asking you to cure cancer.
No, you're right. I'm just saying.
Don't curse in an interview.
I'm saying Marcus Peters has been doing this the entire time. He just magically stops the week they're playing the Chiefs. He was cursing last week when he was talking about it.
Jared Goff told him not to. So maybe it took Jared Goff saying something.
Yeah,
maybe it finally just sunk into him.
I don't know. I mean, you've been on this earth a lot longer than me. Sometimes your personality is your personality, and you just don't change at the drop of a dime. Like at some point, you kind of are what you are. Like some people we know are just casually.
I don't think he changed his entire personality. All you're saying is like, hey man, don't curse in an interview.
I think that's part of his personality. Maybe it's totally different.
I don't know. Part of my personality is the things you like and your values and stuff like that. It's not cursing in an interview. That's an easy fix. You know, I'm glad he did it. I think that's a smart way to do it.
Do we think he's going to curse again in a press conference? Because I would bet whatever amount of money you want, Marcus Peters will cuss in a press conference
that's fine.
Between now and the end of the season. Maybe. I'll put whatever you want on it.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I don't think you have to change your personality to not do that. Like, I don't think, listen, whoever's got to him and said that, good for Marcus. Because that's what Marcus needs to be right there. I know it's not great for us, for him saying crazy stuff and cursing and doing all that. But it's good for Marcus. Like, that's good for him. Because that's going to get him paid. Stuff like that. Handle himself the right way. You guys heard Patrick Mahomes mic'd up. He was mic'd up in last game. He's like, yes, sir. He was like, let's go get him. Coach's like, hey, let's go, Pat. Yes, sir. Do that stuff. Be a great teammate. If Marcus Peters can do that, he's got enough talent to get paid and stick around a long time. I hope that's what happened. I hope it's the start of it for him.
Yeah, I just don't think that stuff changes in a week with Marcus Peters. I'm just curious why that breakout never occurred with the Kansas City Chiefs, who preach leadership and high-end leadership more than any.
You got to be ready to listen. You got to be ready to take it in. If you're not ready to listen, you can take advice and people can tell you stuff all the time. But until you're ready to take it in and do something about it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't seem too interested in hearing that last week when he was cursing at Sean Payton. Coming up in just a bit, we'll rank the top players in this game that don't play the quarterback position. But we talked to D Ford earlier. He said some really interesting stuff. We'll play it for you coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a bit, we go through the top players in this game that are not Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes. Earlier today, Brad and I sat down with Chiefs outside linebacker D Ford, and he talked about dealing with injuries in his past and having the best career of his life, or season of his life, excuse me.
2016, which is my first year starting, I was doing very well heading to like week 10. Actually, this point where I am now, and I had a hamstring injury. And even before that, I had another flare-up with my back, even before that.
Yeah.
I don't know, last year, I really had to go ahead and get my second back procedure. I was trying to play through. I knew I had to get surgery against the Patriots. I knew after that game I had to get surgery.
Talking week one last year?
Week one last year.
Okay.
But I tried even 5 or 6 weeks after that. I think I came back for Pittsburgh. I came back for that game. I actually played through that game and made it through Oakland. Yep, I played the Oakland game, and I think Denver was the game where I couldn't do it anymore.
And you had it at Auburn too, right?
Yeah,
you had back surgery at Auburn.
I had it at Auburn, but I didn't have any more issues until I got back.
Yeah,
into the league, I didn't have any more issues. So we knew it was a chance. It was just a very unlucky circumstance.
Yeah.
Some things happened that was just very unlucky. And because honestly, I shouldn't have never had to get the second procedure, but things just happen. You know, you just have to keep it rolling. So I knew at that point last year, I just had to get the surgery.
I will say this, from sitting across from D Ford and having this conversation, I always thought this, and I hate this narrative with athletes. I feel like it's wildly unfair. I don't believe that D Ford is having a good season simply because it's time to get paid. I'm not saying there are not guys that are motivated that way. That guys realize, hey, this is my last chance to make significant amount of money. I got to get my stuff together. So I'm not saying that's not the case. From just sitting there and having the conversation with D Ford, I don't think he's motivated that way. He seems way more cerebral than that to me. I don't think this is simply I haven't lived up to expectation. This is my last chance to prove it. Hey, if I have a really good season, I can make $40 million guaranteed. I guess I'll try harder this offseason and work out. I don't think that's the case with D Ford. I don't think it was earlier in his career, hey, that back injury, hey, I'll sit this one out, but now I'm going to tough through it. I don't think that happened with D Ford.
Yeah, I'm with you, C-Dot, because one of the things that I always pay attention to when you're sitting down with somebody in that situation, not when you're in a locker room and you got 40 cameras and 15 recorders around one player. I mean, you can get a chance. One of the reasons we like to do this, we get a chance to sit down and talk with them rather than do some big interview in front of his locker and around a bunch of other people. You get to sit down and you get to know the guy a little bit. Cerebral, I think, is a really great way to put it, because part of the interview that didn't air, he talked about meditation a lot. Like, he relies heavily on meditation. And one of the things that he said to us is that he treats every day like a game day. Like, why should I be any different on a non-game day than on a typical game day? So he treats every day the same. And the other part that blew me away with him, because remember in the beginning of the interview when we asked him, and we're going to replay this later on in the show, but we asked him about Mahomes and ketchup on his steak. He didn't know about it. And then when the interview was over, I said to him, are you glad you're not going to Mexico City to play on that field? He goes, what are you talking about? And it wasn't like, I don't think it was a typical athlete answer. I'm not going to go there. He legitimately didn't know. Like, D Ford gets locked in on what he's doing, and that's what he does. Like, he's not worried about the other stuff. He does his best to block out us, to block out what criticism that fans have of him, all that stuff. He was an impressive guy. I'm not going to lie. He was really impressive to talk to today.
No, it doesn't change my opinion on what I think the Chiefs should do with him.
Yeah, me either. I mean, because the back issue is the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've always hated this when it comes to athletes, when it comes to this contract year mentality. That I don't think these guys that when they're not up for contracts are playing at 80, 85% and then magically can find that extra 10 to 15% to play at 100% and go out there and dominate. I genuinely believe that D Ford was hampered by injuries. He was having a good season in 2016, back problems toward the second half of the season. Why would you not want to push through it when you're having 10 and a half sacks in the first 11 games? D Ford was having a similar kind of season, the one he's having right now, 2 years ago. I've always rejected this notion from D Ford as he's finally playing well. It's not true. D Ford was playing really well a couple years ago. The injuries happened. And then it's kind of been the last year and a half he's been having to deal with that, and now he's fully healthy. Now, I think you squeeze every bit of juice out of this lemon, and you try to go ahead and win you a Super Bowl, and then you decide what's moving on from it. I just always hated this, well, it's a contract year, now he decided to turn things on. I don't think Hosmer did that last year when it was time to get paid, and now that he got paid in San Diego, he's not trying hard. As you know, baseball's just hard. And yeah. Some guys, to me, they just are what they are as players, and that's just a different kind of season. I've always hated that belief when it comes to D Ford and our evaluation of him this season.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that you could use against him is just staying healthy. And we talk about Kyle Zimmer on the show, and he can't stay healthy, right? I mean, D Ford, that's the knock on him at this point. Because I think he's shown when he's healthy, he's pretty darn good. And right now, he's healthy.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you the results of our poll question of who is the bigger threat to the Chiefs. Is it Aaron Donald against the Chiefs' interior offensive line, or is it Todd Gurley against the Chiefs' run defense? And if you take Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff out of the equation, who are the five best players playing in this game? We'll get to that coming up. It's The Drive. We got breaking news in college football. According to Sports Illustrated, Kansas is finalizing a deal to make Les Miles the new head football coach at the University of Kansas. Multiple sources told Sports Illustrated an announcement could come as soon as this weekend. That is courtesy of Sports Illustrated. It does appear that Les Miles is going to be the next head coach at the University of Kansas. Spec, first, can you check your Twitter account? I just want to make sure that you see the tweet I just sent you on Twitter, because we only talk about things I get wrong. I just want to make sure that you at least see your Twitter account.
Quote, if I'm Kansas, my first call is to Les Miles. That's from Carrington Harrison, May 21st.
May 21st, 2018
at 2:39 p.m.
It has always made the most sense if you're Kansas to hire Les Miles. Kansas, I would say, has two severe problems when it comes to their football program. On a very serious note, not even making fun of Kansas. Two severe problems. If I am a booster, why would I give money to their football program when Bill Self is there? If Bill needs $100,000 for something, who am I going to give it to? Bill Self or David Beatty? I'm giving it to Bill. Hey, put my name somewhere. Hey, I want to do everything I can to help the basketball program stay ahead of Duke, stay ahead of Kentucky. So you need somebody that can go to David Booth. You need somebody that can go to the top boosters as a football person and ask for something and get it in return. And it goes without saying, you have a talent problem. You have a talent and a player development problem. Les Miles is the only coach you could have hired that can go into a recruit's living room and say, you watch football on Sunday. Look what I did with Odell Beckham. Look what I did with fill-in-the-blank defensive lineman there. I can do the exact same thing to you if you give me the shot and come here to Kansas. And I think that too many times these universities, they're so focused on finding the next young guy who can be the coach for the next 15 years. That's not realistic. Find you somebody who can be a really good coach for the next 5 to 7 years. Man, not every situation is Bill Self where he's going to be there for 15 years. It's not how it works. Most situations are like Mike Anderson at Mizzou. Mm-hmm. And good coach, a better opportunity comes along, you take that job 6, 7, 8 years later. Les Miles is going to be the coach for the next 5 to 7 years, and he's going to do a good job at Kansas. Les Miles has always made sense for Kansas.
I remember, I think it was the College Football Awards 1 year, and Aqib Talib won. I don't know what the award was, but he was on ESPN, and they were interview him after he won the award, and the question came up, why'd you go to Kansas? And you know what? And this would be my biggest recruiting tool if I'm Les Miles. And Aqib Talib said, because I could play right away. That's going to be a great way to get talented guys to the University of Kansas if you're Les Miles. Why should I come to Kansas, coach? Because you're going to play now. You know, as you said, C-Dot, they got a talent problem at KU. Now, they got some nice players. They got Puka Williams, who I think is electric. But they got a talent problem over there. They got a coaching problem, too. That's the other part of it. But Les Miles' biggest pitch is, in addition to what you just said, I can get you to the league. Look what I've done to some of these other guys. You can play right now. Like, you're good enough to get on the field right now and do it in the Big 12. So I think it's a great hire. If this thing ends up getting hammered out, which it looks like it will. You know, Sports Illustrated reports that they've had ongoing negotiations throughout the week to try to get this thing done. We heard yesterday the buyout from LSU. He was supposed to get $6.5 million when he left LSU. They negotiated down to a $1.5 million buyout that Les Miles just got. That frees him up to go wherever he wants. Jeff Long and him go all the way back to the 1980s when he was at Michigan. Matter of fact, Jeff Long, KU's AD, is one of the biggest reasons he got a huge pay raise at LSU, because Long tried to get him to Arkansas. So these two guys go back a long way. So I think this is a great hire. I think it's a really great hire. And I remember when we had Dennis Dodd on from CBS Sports, was it last week, I think? And he said, no matter whoever you hire, it's going to be a 4 or 5 year deal. No matter who the coach is, you get an up-and-comer, he gets it cooking at KU, he's going to get an offer to go somewhere else. You get a coach that sucks, he's out of here in 4 years. You get Les Miles, he's probably out of here in 4, 5, 7 years too. I think it's the best that KU could have done. I think it's a great hire.
So if you missed it, Kansas is finalizing a deal to hire Les Miles as the Jayhawk, the next head coach. This information is courtesy of Sports Illustrated. They're finalizing the deal to make Les Miles the new leader of the Jayhawk football program. An announcement could come as soon as this weekend. I expect them to do something today with the basketball program. Les Miles is going to be out there at halftime. He's going to wave. Everybody's going to go crazy. You do something this weekend while they have Oklahoma in town. Fox is talking about it. This was well played by the University of Kansas. Jeff Long with a big, big win. You brought Jeff Long in to fix football. Basketball's taken care of. You brought Jeff Long in is to give your football program some respect and some legitimacy across the board, and he's done that with his first hire.
Yeah, and the story is saying that they think it'll get finalized this weekend at some point. May not get done today, which means you may not see him at Allen Fieldhouse tonight. I think that'd be the perfect way to do it, run him out there at halftime of the KU game tonight. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think it might be in a little bit of poor taste to run him out there on the turf at halftime of a football game where David Beatty's there. I probably wouldn't do that if I was KU, but it sounds like this thing's going to get done at some point over the weekend. If they get it done this afternoon, awesome. Run him to Allen Fieldhouse, sit him in the front row, get him out there, give him a microphone at halftime, the crowd will go crazy.
I tweeted this out earlier today. We still got like 50 minutes left on it if you want to vote on it. It's on the 610 Sports Twitter account. Who presents the bigger mismatch on Monday Night Football? Is it Todd Gurley against the Chiefs' run defense, or is it Aaron Donald against the Chiefs' interior line? Todd Gurley is winning this 82% to 18% for Aaron Donald. I know coming into the week, that was one of the things you were looking at. When you look at Aaron Donald, nobody loves to give credit to the offensive lineman more than you.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively, that's certainly the biggest advantage that the Rams have. You have arguably the best defensive lineman and best defensive player, in my mind, in the NFL, going up against three backup interior linemen. This is not Larry.
You can say Cam Irving's a starter. Cam Irving's a starter.
I mean, I think Cam Irving is like a fifth, sixth kind of option guy.
Been starting all year?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
Cam Irving is a okay offensive lineman. Yeah. I think depends on what situation that you're in, but I'm not going to fight you on the fifth guy on the offensive line. It's your backup center. It's your backup right guard because of Larry Duvernay-Tardif. Mm-hmm. That's by far the biggest advantage that the Rams have when it comes defensively.
It's actually a third string center.
Todd Gurley is the biggest advantage, I think, for the Rams' offense. Now, I'm not saying that Jared Goff and the other pass-catching options they are going to have a good day. I think that Todd Gurley could win Offensive Player of the Year this year in the NFL. Like, I think the Rams could have the Defensive Player of the Year and the Offensive Player of the Year. I think it's going to be one of those years where the same person that wins MVP doesn't win Offensive Player of the Year. Todd Gurley's having a Priest Holmes kind of season. Mm-hmm. He might score 30 touchdowns this year. That's how good Todd Gurley's been so far this season. I'm surprised to see the poll 82% to 18 when it comes to Gurley being the bigger mismatch over Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and the reason I think they're voting it that way is because, and that's what I voted for. I voted in the poll, and I said Gurley to me is a bigger mismatch. I think Andy Reid's smart enough to semi-neutralize Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue. I mean, we've had guys on all week, and they say, just run screen passes. Get those guys running side to side. Mahomes can get it out of his hand quick. I mean, if you get it out of your hand in a second and a half or less, I mean, they're not even going to be able to get a hand on him. You know, that's the key. So I think that's an easier, as crazy as it sounds, because I think Aaron Donald's the best football player in this game. As crazy as it sounds, that's the way you neutralize these dudes. Just don't give them time to get to Mahomes, and then you're fine.
I kind of feel like similar to when the Chiefs would go up against the Pittsburgh Steelers in years past, where you kind of looked at it like Antonio Brown's going to have a good day. You just got to limit the other guys on the team. I don't think the Chiefs have the pieces or the weapons or the options to stop Todd Gurley. Like, I don't think they have it at all. I think they're going to have a tougher time stopping Ty Gurley than they are with Aaron Donald for a lot of the reasons that you say. Mm-hmm. I mean, you line Mahomes up in shotgun, you get the ball out of his hands really quickly, I think you're going to be able to neutralize a little bit. Aaron Donald's going to make a play or two. He's too talented of a player to not really pop out on the television and not make a play again. Aaron Donald's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. But I look at Todd Gurley. To me, it's a minimum at least 130 yards from scrimmage. I can see him having a really big day on the ground and having one really big screen play and catch that really breaks the backs of the Chiefs. That if you want to talk about this offseason, some of the moves and acquisitions that the Chiefs made and they really need to step up and show out, this is an Anthony Hitchens game. This is a Xavier Williams game. This is a when you traded for Reggie Ragland kind of game. You cannot be a negative. You remember that play that happened against the Denver Broncos where they ran that toss play to Philip Lindsay and they should have tackled him at like the 21-yard line, but he found a way to get in the end zone? Mm-hmm. That can't happen against the Rams. Like, the Rams are just better equipped to beat you than Denver was.
And to give the Chiefs defense credit, I mean, their tackling's improved. I mean, it's not even close to what it was in that Monday night game against Denver. Not even close. So, yeah, I mean, this is your D-line – your inside linebackers, your guys like Dan Sorensen, your Ron Parkers of the world, this is where they have to have a big game. Because Todd Gurley is going to get to that second layer of your defense, probably the third layer a few times. So Ragland, Hitchens, Naughty, Xavier Williams, Alan Bailey, you know, Dirty Dan, the Dirty One, all those guys, man. Stopping Todd Gurley, to me, is going to be the key to this game. Because think of it this way. Say the Rams have themselves... Say they're up 10, fourth quarter. Man, I'm handing it to Gurley every single time. I'm eating clock. I'm wearing the Chiefs down. And that's how we're going to close these guys out. Because the Rams can do that to the Chiefs. You know, we've seen teams try to run the football and beat the Chiefs that way. And it doesn't really work. We see the Broncos try to do it. Didn't work. You know, I think the Cardinals ate up almost the entire third quarter last week. They kept the score down, but they didn't have enough to beat the Chiefs. I think the Rams, if they get a lead and they decide to run the ball in the second half, they can do that to the Chiefs.
We say that, though. I mean, the two teams that you name, they don't have the running and passing attack to beat the Chiefs. The teams that have ran the ball effectively and maybe could employ that strategy could also throw at them. Like, New England ran the ball pretty effectively against the Chiefs. They also got Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. If you look at what early in the season, like, that's where I think this is maybe the biggest show-me kind of game with the Chiefs. I keep hearing from everybody, you, Bill Moss, Danny Hughes, Neil Smith, the Chiefs' defense is a lot better over the last month. All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
This is the game that we see. Stopping Josh Rosen is not showing me that your defense is any better. Slowing down the Cleveland Browns is not showing me you're a lot better. If you can hold this Rams team to 30 points, that shows me that you really improved from where you were a month ago when you went up against the New England Patriots. If you missed the breaking news, Les Miles is set to become the next head coach at the University of Kansas. He is finalizing a deal to become their next coach. That information is courtesy of Sports Illustrated. Up next, our guy, Benny Heiss, gives you a little fantasy advice. Text it in right now if you need some help. Text line 69306. I know you're getting ready for your fantasy playoffs. Well, Heiss is here to help. Coming up, it's The Drive. We got a lot of stuff happening right now on The Drive. We got fantasy advice from Benny Heiss coming up in just a bit. We'll introduce him momentarily. Coming up at 4 o'clock, the Chiefs and the Rams are extremely similar. We'll talk about that. And we'll try to get a Kansas guest on if you missed it. Les Miles is scheduled to be the next coach of the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas is finalizing a deal to hire Les Miles as their next coach. An announcement expected sometime this weekend. KU has a home basketball game today, and I believe they are home this weekend against Oklahoma. No reason not to tout your new coach out there and get him some love on Fox. And, I mean, now with early signing day right around the corner, if you're Kansas, you had to make a hiring before Thanksgiving. I think Kansas is making the right hire. I really like the Les Miles hire for Kansas. We'll talk about that in just a bit, but right now it is time for some fantasy advice with Heiss. How you doing, man?
It's a big day. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Buddy. All right, let's start with this. What matchups do you like in Chiefs and Rams? Because everybody seems like a go when the over-under is 64.5.
Yeah, everybody is a go. Everybody, the over-under in this game could be of historic proportions. I think if it closes at 63.5, it's the highest perhaps in NFL history.
How would you rank them? Maybe that's the best way to do it. I agree with you. Everybody is a go in this game. Mm-hmm. How would you rank them between Mahomes, Goff, Gurley, Hill, Cooks, Woods, all of those kind of guys?
I'd probably go Gurley number one because he's been the most consistent best player in fantasy week in, week out. I think his lowest fantasy performance is about 20 points, and that's just with about as low of a floor as you can possibly get. This might be sacrilegious here. I prefer Goff to Mahomes in this game. And I think part of the reason is there's a correlation play. Every time that a Rams opponent has scored more than 20 points in a game, Jared Goff is averaging about 370 yards through the air and 3.5 touchdowns. I know Kansas City is going to put up 20-plus points against the Rams on the road in L.A. So I just know that Goff is going to be in line for a monster day. I trust his receivers, even with the Cooper Kupp injury. And, you know, even though he'd be lining up in the slot against Kendall Fuller, there's so many other weapons that he has to throw to. And I just know more than likely Gurley's going to be involved in the passing game consistently. And then after that, yeah, I probably go with Robert Woods. I think they're going to move him around, exploit a lot of matchups. Then Travis Kelce, then Tyreek Hill. And I actually don't love Kareem Hunt in this game, only because I think the Chiefs are going to have to throw a ton, and sometimes they tend to abandon him in the passing game. When the Chiefs are out in front, when they're controlling time and tempo, they tend to use Kareem Hunt both in the rushing game and also in the passing game a little bit more receptively. So that's probably my top guys there.
Who does the absence of Cooper Kupp help the most in this game?
Are you talking about like for an advantage for the Chiefs, or who does it help as far as targets for the Rams?
I'm talking fantasy wise. Now that Cooper Kupp isn't there, that was going to take some touchdowns, some opportunities away from the other guys on the Rams offense. Who would you say is the biggest benefactor of Coop's absence?
There's a couple guys. I would say Robert Woods, because he now assumes that slot role for at least the majority of the snaps. Sean McVay is really smart, so he moves him around. But predominantly, they move Robert Woods, at least in the couple games the Cooper Kupp has been out, into that slot role. And you know how often the Rams like to target guys in the slot. So I think Woods' numbers and projections are probably going to go up a little bit too. But I also think this helps Josh Reynolds. He's the guy that comes in the couple games the Cooper Kupp has been out. He's been targeted in the red zone a lot. I think the matchup sets up really well for him on the outside against some of Kansas City's corners. So I'd probably go Robert Woods 1 and then Josh Reynolds number 2.
Right now we're talking to our guy Benny Heise. He joins us in studios. What are your favorite matchups? What are you looking for in Week 11?
Yeah, there's a couple matchups that I'm really intrigued by. I'm going to start with Dallas and Atlanta. And then again, this is sort of besides Kansas City going to L.A. and Philadelphia going to New Orleans. There's a couple under-the-radar games that I'm really intrigued by. I'm going to start with Dallas and Atlanta.
Hold on. I know Atlanta, Matt Ryan a play, Julio Jones is a play. Please don't tell me you're thinking about playing somebody on that Cowboys offense that's not Ezekiel Elliott.
The Cowboys offense actually has a great matchup against Atlanta. I much prefer Atlanta. Here's the thing about Atlanta at home. Matt Ryan, 15 total touchdowns in 5 games at home compared to just 7 on the road. He averages nearly 3 more yards per passing attempt than he does versus on the road. And the average total score in games in Atlanta tends to be more than 20 points higher in the dome. So what that tells me is that absolutely a lot of guys from both Atlanta and Dallas are in play. We saw Prescott finally move the ball a little bit more effectively. They're using Ezekiel Elliott in the passing game. Amari Cooper's been getting 28% of the targets. He's actually looked like a real wide receiver again since moving from Oakland to Dallas. It wasn't much of an upgrade, but it's a substantial upgrade for him. So I think the ton of guys in this game are in play. And then Tampa Bay going to the New York Giants. I know that a lot of people just tend to look at Eli Manning and want nothing to do with it. The reality is that you're going up against Tampa Bay that has allowed the second most amount of yards to quarterbacks all season long. Charles Barkley, Saquon Barkley, the clear-cut number one running back on
That's
the main slate. Yeah. Is it really?
I just made that up.
And then Odell Beckham Jr. just in another smash spot against Tampa Bay. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, despite not having a touchdown last week and turning the ball over 3 times, was still a top 10 fantasy quarterback. 80% of the offense goes through the air in Tampa Bay. So you know there's going to be plenty of points. I think it's the third highest total of the main slate.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to get your questions answered by Benny Heise. Go ahead and text them in. Text line 69306. You think that Lamar Jackson can help listeners win their league?
Yeah, absolutely. But they got to announce him to be the starter first. But I think if you have enough space in your bench, pick up Lamar Jackson purely because of the rushing upside. You've seen guys like Mitch Trubisky be the number one fantasy quarterback over the last month because of his ability to run, because he can create open matchups. That rushing upside is huge. So think about it from this perspective, right? If his floor, if he runs for 60 yards in a game, that's six total points. Okay, so then what happens if he threw for 200 yards, ran for a touchdown, and then passed for another touchdown? You're talking about an additional 18 points on top of the 60 rushing yards. So that's 24, 25 points. You're looking at about a top 5, top 6 quarterback play week in and week out. So he's going to turn the ball over a couple times. He's going to make some bad throws. If you're in a league that takes away from passing efficiency, then he's not a good play at all. But because of his ability to run, it's going to open up things for both him, both for Alex Collins. He's a fantastic play down the stretch just because his upside is so huge.
Text line 69306. Let's go rapid fire. If you got a question, I will go ahead and get it in right now so we can ask it to our fantasy expert, Benny Heise. Ben Roethlisberger or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'd probably go Fitzpatrick. I know Big Ben has looked awesome, but I think it's sort of one of those last stand opportunities for Jacksonville. I think they're pissed off about losing the Sunday night game. This is their opportunity to get back at Pittsburgh. And Big Ben historically in his career has been bad in these 1 p.m. Eastern time games on the road. So I actually think Jacksonville will do well. I like Fitzpatrick.
Marlon Mack or Kerryon Johnson?
Johnson probably has a little bit of a better matchup. I know he's going to get better volume, so I'm going to probably go with him.
Watson or Trubisky?
I don't like the matchup for Trubisky. I know he's looked awesome in the last month or so, but against Minnesota, their defense is finally coming around over the last 4 or 5 weeks. The offense is starting to pick up their end of the bargain as well. I just don't like Trubisky enough in this game. I'd rather go Watson.
Goff or Wentz?
Jared Goff is my number one, if not number two, quarterback this week between him and Mahomes. They're both awesome plays.
Scrolling up here, Amari Cooper or LeSean McCoy?
Give me Amari Cooper in an ideal matchup on the road against Atlanta where Dallas is going to have to throw a ton.
Someone says, should I trade Kareem Hunt for Saquon Barkley?
Yes, I would. Absolutely, because Saquon Barkley, even though Kareem Hunt might be getting around the same number of targets in the running game, Saquon Barkley's getting between 6 and 10 passing attempts per game. Like, they're feeding him the ball. He is every single part of their offense. I know the Giants' offense doesn't look particularly good, but those numbers add up, especially in a PPR league. Yes, Saquon Barkley down the stretch is going to play, and if the Chiefs wrap up the division, there's a possibility in the championship game in Week 16 that Kareem Hunt could be sitting against Seattle. So give me Saquon Barkley.
Cam Newton or Baker Mayfield?
Give me Cam Newton this week. I know that Carolina didn't look good, but he still has had multiple touchdowns, I think, in 6 of his last 7 games. And Mayfield was great last week, but I prefer Cam.
Someone on the text line, last question here. Is Chris Thompson going to be relevant for me again?
He got off to such a good start, too.
He had a great start.
He got off to a great start. He was the lone bit of somebody in that Washington offense that could be explosive, because that offense has been nothing but that this year. I just don't think it's going to happen. He's been doubtful for too many weeks. Even if he becomes relevant in the fantasy playoffs, then you can probably pick him up because no one else is going to be on him.
Ketchup or A1 steak sauce?
I don't think I've ever had A1 steak sauce.
Have you had ketchup on a steak?
No. No.
Why not?
Because a good steak doesn't need ketchup.
You should try it.
Why?
Nothing needs ketchup. Not a good
what?
Hamburger. Not a good
true.
French fry. Nothing
it's
needs
not,
ketchup.
No, I for fries, I'll do barbecue sauce and I'll do buffalo sauce all the
not
time.
Not ketchup, though?
No. Ketchup is fine, but
ketchup's amazing.
You never put it on a hot dog. Ever. Never. And you certainly don't put it on a steak. You know, put it on mac and cheese. Get out of here with that garbage.
Can you tell me what you guys eat at Thanksgiving? I don't think I've ever asked you this before. I don't think I'll see you before that. Spectre's telling us we got to go. I can see you having the worst Thanksgiving spread imaginable.
I eat turkey. I eat stuffing. I eat sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes.
Does turkey jump out to you?
I make a chocolate pecan pie every year. What's wrong with that?
Okay, that sounded normal. I was just expecting you, like, you have a tofu turkey, a vegan turkey, you have green bean casserole.
Yeah, my wife's gluten.
Bottles of Aquafina.
No, my wife's gluten free, but that doesn't mean that you have to take away from everybody else.
How many different Thanksgiving quiches are you gonna have?
We don't do quiches. Is that a thing in the Fanning house?
No,
the Thanksgiving
it's not.
Day quiche.
You like to do all your little foodie stuff.
He puts Heinz ketchup on his steak, so I don't know.
Damn
if you can,
right
I don't know if you can let this guy question.
Hey,
you to
cover
food
your turkey with cranberry sauce and Hunts?
No, I wouldn't do that. Though. We'll do that to turkey.
That is our guy, Benny Heiss. Follow him on Twitter, at Benny Heiss. Always good seeing you, my man.
See you, boys.
Coming up in just a bit, the Chiefs and the Rams defense are very, very similar, and we'll try to catch up with someone from Kansas to give us the latest, as if you missed the breaking news, Kansas is set to hire Les Miles as their next football coach. We'll do it next. Coming up, it's The Drive.